fabulous weekend. Hey, everybody, thanks for hanging with us in your nooks and crannies here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. I am still reeling from the big story last week about the couple who found the $10 million in those rare gold coins. But check this out. I mean, you're going to love this. This was the bomb I couldn't wait to talk about to get on the air after the weekend, after I found this story out. Do you know that they might owe the government about half of the money? Yeah, they might have to pay for those gold coins. And you think coins, it used to be that you could invest in coins, and that was, you did that because you didn't pay taxes on that. But now with this $10 million, here's what the scoop is. It might be a huge jackpot for the other three dreaded letters, the IRS. So what was reported by the San Francisco Chronicle is that the find is a taxable event under a 1969 federal court ruling that held a treasure trove is taxable the year it was discovered. Is that ridiculous? And so now it goes to, what if nobody opened their mouth and nobody knew that about the $10 million? They didn't get any publicity. I mean, the couple hasn't spoken. They don't want people flying to their house. They want all these prospectors to show up at the house. But the story's out there. So this is a 1969 federal court ruling. Brutal. So when it's all said and done, about 47% would go to state and federal tax, or the top tax rate. 1,427 coins were found dating back, and I've talked about this before, but think of this, stretch your mind, dating back from 1847 to 1894. They were uncirculated mint condition. So, you know, by the time you add them all up, and who knows, they could make even more than $10 million. It's basically about $10 million. I mean, that's insane. Oh, I would be so depressed to hear that. Sorry. I mean, listen, it's one thing to pay a fair share of taxes, but because of that little thing, a treasure trove. So not that I'm saying you should be dishonest, but if you found that kind of money, are you going to want publicity for it? It just seems so over the top to me. And the coins, by the way, this was another quick aside about this. The coins were minted in San Francisco. Just one gold piece, as far as I know, came from Georgia. But here they were. It was in the hilly area on their property, and they found them. They found them in an old rusty can that had eroded. So it popped a little bit out of the ground. That's what caused them to find it. Other people are saying, where did they come from? Was it a bank robbery? It's like, what? Are you kidding me? It's because you had the dates and the talking about whoever put them there. They were using the ground as a bank. And, you know, so I guess they were different denominations. It's just crazy to think about it. I mean, the story is still very, very cool. And I mean, hey, listen, it's a fine, whatever they end up getting. But the whole idea, the twist in this, that the IRS is there ready because of this rule to collect the money. The money, by the way, because somebody asked me this, that because paper money was illegal in California into the 1870s, it's rare to find any coins from before of the kind of high quality that they were. The grade, the uncirculated, was one of the most unbelievable things, I think, about that. Yeah, crazy. All right, another story caught my eye, too. Of all the things, the violence and the things we talk about and the sad endings for so many people who are shot, there was a story that came out about somebody in Cincinnati that was shot 14 times. Check this out. This guy is expected to actually survive after being shot that many times. 35 years old. He's rushed to the hospital. And, I mean, he was hit in the arms, the legs, the body. I'm going to say the number again. 14 shots. The man's girlfriend drove him to the hospital after he was attacked, and somebody was eventually arrested a few hours afterwards and charged with assault, of course. The motive, they're still trying to figure that out. But, you know, the suspect was in court at the tail end of last week, but 14 times to be shot and to survive that is unbelievable. And, you know, maybe some of them were flesh wounds, but some of them definitely hit the mark. That is, they wanted him dead. There's no question about it. You don't shoot somebody that many times and think they're getting up from that or they're going to somehow survive that. I mean, you know, you just don't think that. Every once in a while, too, here on America Tonight, you know, we used to call it news you could abuse, name of the oddball crazy story. And I think one of the crazier stories that would fall under that category that we're going to just lead off with, right, is the story about this New York man who got a birthday cake. And he was, you know, excited about the birthday cake. It was a apple ring cake from his favorite grocery store in New York. And when he bit into the cake, took a bite of his birthday cake. And when he bit into the cake, he said to someone at the party, his party, that something wasn't right, that just didn't taste right. And when they cut the cake, they thought it was black mold. But when they got further into the cake, and I hope nobody's eating right now, do you know what that black mold was? It was a rat's tail. They found a rat. Naturally, when that happens, I mean, obviously somebody tampered with the cake, what, stuck the rat in there? What would that be? Why would you do that? But the grocery chain, of course, is looking into it. They have to be freaked out. They took all of the bakery things out of the store, and they're inspecting it. And it's been up to par with all of the previous inspections, and they never had a complaint like that before. So what is someone thinking? First of all, what, do you kill the rat, and then you're sticking them in a cake? Or, I mean, did the rat find his way into the cake? Even though they passed all the inspections and everything, I don't know. A rat is a rat is a rat. And frankly, of all the things I've ever found in the middle of my birthday cakes, luckily, none of them, as far as I know, have been of the rodent variety. That would just, that would freak me out if I saw that. Oh, I can't imagine. At least they probably caught it in the beginning and they didn't full on cut, you know, giant pieces. It was sort of right after the first couple of slices. All right, and one last one. Paula Deen, we love a comeback, or at least some of us do, right, in this nation. That's the whole thing. They can't always keep you down. Paula Deen swears she's coming back, and she's got a new company called Paula Deen Ventures, and I heard this just the other day, that she's got a restaurant that's opening up in Tennessee. Yeah, a new restaurant, Paula Deen's Kitchen in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. I've actually been there. It's a big tourist area now, not when I went through there, but now they have a thing called Dollywood Theme Park. It's about Dolly Parton. But this awesome Smoky Mountains National Park is right by there. And so you get a lot of people that go to Pigeon Forge, rather. You probably get about maybe 10 million plus people that vacation there. So this probably will be a successful venture for her. I would think that people would go to the restaurant. But after losing, you know, so many sponsors and so much of her income to other things because of the controversy, this is her first step jumping back into something new, a new venture like the restaurant. All right, hang through. We got much more to come here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Steve Spillum for Midas Resources. In 1971, President Nixon took the United States off the gold standard and put us into a fiat currency. This allowed Congress and the Federal Reserve to create trillions of dollars out of thin air. The national debt has risen to incredible heights, and your hard-earned dollars buy a small fraction of what they once did. The average life expectancy for a fiat currency is 27 years. The dollar is failing and on borrowed time. When currencies fall, people turn to gold and silver because gold and silver have been real money for more than 5,000 years. It is our mission and Midas Resources to help you preserve your capital. Don't let your personal savings shrink to nothing. For important free information on how you can protect your personal wealth, contact me, Steve Spillum, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Call today while we are still accepting dollars for gold and silver. 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Make a change in your financial security today. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 308.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Welcome to another version of We Can Count. It's all about the numbers. There's always so many numbers to talk about, isn't there? How about this number? North Korea launching 4 missiles. Yeah, that might have really fallen under the radar. It was the tail end of the week. Big conversation over the weekend. But 4 short-range missiles into the East Sea, or some people still call it the Sea of Japan. The missiles weren't supposedly sent, or don't appear to be, sent to South Korea, not in their waters. They were fired toward Russia, fell into the water, and were considered low-level matter. The missiles were fired, I guess, just a couple of days after the annual joint military exercises between South Korea and the United States. And North Korea, of course, opposes this, so this is their way to react. Last year, there were weeks of tension between North Korea, the war threats, the South Korea, and including something in May when they fired up to 6 short-range missiles. So South Korea's defense minister is saying they would come up with some more details, but that's what it looks like, that this is kind of that, all right, we know you're doing this, and we're just kind of reacting to it. Just to let you know that we are paying attention. We're paying attention to what you're doing. All right, let's move on to more numbers. More numbers, 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 numbers. And, you know, the reason that we do this segment is because it's true. Start to look around and you'll see so many things are boiled down into numbers. They really are. So much of our life comes down to that. And when I was perusing through things the other day, I happened to see this, and this is such a sad story, but there was a film crew worker who, her name was Sarah Elizabeth James, and I mean, she just loved what she did, right? She was a second camera assistant. She was killed late last week on a set, and she was part of this Allman Brothers movie that they were shooting, and now the film community, in fact, she was in memoriam on the Oscars. But the film community is rallying around what happened to her, and they're calling for slates for Sarah. So hundreds of photo tributes have popped up, and whatnot, but it's a crazy thing. She's just 27 years old. The movie was Greg Allman's biopic, basically, Midnight Rider is the name of it. She was hit and killed by a freight train. This was near Savannah, Georgia. Her death really rocked so many people. Film crew, as I said, from all over the place, came up with these clapboards and with messages and remembrances, and, you know, like 30,000 people liked the Facebook page Slates for Sarah. But it's scary what happened there. The fact that, you know, where was she in relationship to this train that she was hit? Greg Allman apparently was really just freaked out by it. He called the family or sent out condolences to the family and how tragic it was and, you know, whatnot. And she worked in some pretty big things. She worked, on sets with the Glee people and Scandal and Downton Abbey. She was part of the Downton Abbey crew and Vampire Diaries and stuff. But a lot of people are saying, you know, what's going on in these movie sets? Is there enough safety on the sets? They were filming on train tracks at the time of the accident, and she died and seven other people were injured. So, I mean, that's just a tragic thing. There's got to be some way to make that a safer environment, I have to say, than having this young girl and the rest of the crew in a situation where they're playing chicken with the train. I mean, how does that? She's 27. There's your number. 27-year-old camera assistant. Wow. It's got to be shocking to the family. And I guess because I've been on just a few, but a couple of movie sets. And when you go, to me, it seems very slow and methodical. And you're not, you don't think of, yes, there's accidents, but I don't think you're thinking that you're shooting a train scene and that happens. I just don't think you're, you know, thinking that. A poll comes out, and, you know, I am the poll princess, although I haven't really had too many polls, so I'm throwing it into this segment because Bruce pointed it out to me, and Bruce said, did you happen to see this Pew Research deal that found that 7 in 10 Indians are dissatisfied with the way things are going in their country today? Kate, I'm of Indian descent, and I wonder what that's all about. And I'm not really sure. I don't know if it's because of, and I read the thing, but I'm not sure if it's because of the culture or what it is. Well, I think that what it is, that the poll that we're talking about is when we're saying dissatisfied with the direction of the country, to not be confused, we're talking about India. Because that's the only poll I saw. It's the only that, you know, that's the only thing I could find. Dissatisfied with what's happening in their, you know, in their country gives you the clue there. So I think that's what you mean. So I don't know. Maybe you've been back. I don't think you're writing this from India, but you haven't said. But since you brought up the poll, I'll say this. They say by a margin of more than 3-1, they would prefer the right of center, the Hindu national opposition to the BJP party. And we could have really dumped this into our mailbag segment, but just because he pointed it out to me, I used it as carryover and we can count. But the numbers were crazy because we're talking about India. The 2014 Indian election, they select members of their lower house of the national parliament, and no single party has won a parliamentary majority since 1989. So this is the problem. I think that's why they're dissatisfied with the way things are going in India. And, you know, there have been problems. There's been a lot of problems with crime. 70% say they're dissatisfied, period, and the disgruntlement is shared across, you know, a bunch of demographic groups, 3/4 of men and 2/3 women and 3/4 of Indian folks age 18 to 29. So there's a whole bunch of numbers. They're not happy with the change in government and some of the election processes, not happy with the education. But that's, of course, why you see so many people, so many Indian people will be educated in the United States, get the visas and whatnot. So I'm not shocked by, and thank you for pointing that out, which we wrapped into We Can Count. I'm not surprised at that Pew Research poll and the numbers that it, you know, the numbers that it shows. All right, let's do. Let's do another one here. Whenever we talk about money, certainly there's plenty of numbers to go around there, isn't there? And, boy, speaking of money, I'm going to sidetrack for a second. The stock market, some of the things that have soared on the stock market, JCPenney, every time I read something about JCPenney, oh, they're in trouble. They went up like 20%. When you see a stock spike at 20%, that's a pretty good thing. And that happened at the tail end of last week. I can't think. I mean, I know that there have been stocks that have spiked, but that's pretty high. So that's a gain. I mean, they had holiday sales that were hot. The profit margins improved. The momentum's going in the right direction, and it's reflected obviously in what's happening with the stock. They've got a new executive, a one-time Apple guy, I guess. This guy worked for Apple, Ron Johnson, and he was the guy, and he stepped down as CEO, and the new guy that they have, the new guy apparently has done a lot of interesting things in bringing back the discounted brands that people look for, the red tag sales and refocusing on the customers and all of that. So JCPenney ended the year with, when you end up with money, that's going to help you, $1.5 million in cash. So not surprised by a bounce in the stock. They got back to what they did. I think that sometimes they put somebody new as a CEO or an executive and they think that they have to put their stamp on it. They don't stay to what their core business plan is, and they have to do something new, and that messes them up. And in the case of JCPenney, people were looking for those red tag sales. They were looking for the familiar, and they weren't getting the familiar. And I think that that's what really, really crippled them, and then sent their stock soaring in the other direction. So they're probably going to keep sailing in the right direction if they continue to go back to the basics. All right, so that's it for another version of We Can Count. Just like Bruce, if you've got something to share numbers-wise, you can participate in it. Same thing as just like you do with Mailbag. Send it to me at americasnight.net.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $29.95 with free shipping. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
America tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those places in between. I have a great recommend for everybody. It's called The Inside Out Speaker, Untold Truths and Strategies on How to Be a Better Speaker. And here's the deal. I like this man so much, and I like what he wrote, that I endorsed the book. He actually, I'm shocked, but actually took my quote and put it on the cover of the book. So, wow, I feel really thrilled by that. I have to tell you. And this whole thing of speaking in our lives, all of you know this listening to me and all the nooks and crannies. At some point, you know, they say the biggest fears we have, of course, is death, taxes, and public speaking. But all of us are pressed to speak at some point at different things in our lives, whether it's interviewing for jobs or PTA meetings or standing up in front of a group to give a presentation that has to do with your job, or maybe not even your job, just something else that you're doing. So it's funny that people feel that way, but speaking is so vital. It's communications. It's what we do on this planet. So in our virtual green room, we have the man himself, Kurt Boxdorfer, who is the author of this book. Kurt, thanks so much for spending time with us on America Tonight.
Thanks, Kate. And I want to say you did a great job with the last name. So good job. That's a tough one.
Do people butcher your last name a lot?
Oh, yeah. They probably butcher it more than they get it right. But, you know, it's kind of enjoyable for me because I kind of enjoy the struggle that I'm about to see when somebody meets me for the first time. So, you know, I don't want them to feel bad. So usually I'll just smile at them and move on from there. So.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, don't feel bad anyway, because, you know, it's like Delaney. Could there be an easier name than Delaney?
Yeah,
I've had people. No. I've had people call me Delaney, Delancey. I mean, seriously, you'd be surprised.
I'll trade you at any time. You just let me know. We'll do it.
So, and when I was thinking about your book in the beginning, I was thinking just from the from my mind thinking of speakers that I've watched since I've been a kid, different people, places where I've been. And I came up with, to me, the best speaker I ever saw, and I was very surprised by this, I guess, in a way, was at my college graduation. Catherine Graham, who was the editor, was the publisher, really, of the Washington Post. You know, they were famous for the whole breaking the Watergate scandal and all that. She was really a good speaker. And I think part of the reason is because she wasn't so far above it. She just was really funny. She had funny stories, and I thought mixing in those stories made her become very personal to all of us. And it was a giant crowd. There was, you know, thousands of us. And
right.
that speech right. to me was the best speech ever. So I was wondering,
right.
your favorite speech. Do
what,
you have a
favorite
speech? Yeah, your favorite speech. Was there anyone you ever heard
no.
speak that you just...
I was thinking you might ask me that, but, you know, just like you said, the individual you just heard, you weren't expecting her to knock you off your feet for you.
I wasn't expecting that.
No, you weren't. And I'm not sure if I really have a favorite one, because to me what kind of hits my button is when somebody really makes me think. I like people coming in kind of from the back door. I like walking in, sitting down, and really not expecting much, and then somebody just, you know, doing it for me. And it's because it made me think and take me to places I don't usually go, because, you know, I'm stuck inside me 24 hours a day. So for, to me, what gets me going is somebody taking me somewhere where I'm not. So I don't really have one answer for you. And it kind of comes down to where I am, you know, in my life. What worked for me 10 years ago, what may have excited me in a speech 10 years ago, is probably different for me now, because I may be looking for different things.
Yeah, well said. Because I think that's the way a lot of people go into those kind of things when they're actually hearing someone speak about something. So you heard me talk in the beginning about that at some point in our lives, you know, we have to speak, and there's all different ways you could go with that, even if it's just for job interviews. And I think your book, after reading your book, I think that that your kind of book is not for the speaker. I'm just a speaker, and here's some things I can do. It actually has amazing tips that can help anybody who has to be in a situation where they have to, frankly, communicate. And you gave us a little glimpse of that when you said, you know, you want to, you're looking to be surprised. You come in a different way
right.
when somebody speaks. Mm-hmm. So do you think that's also an element people could apply to their everyday lives?
I think it is something that can apply to their everyday lives. And the best way to do that is probably, and it's kind of what I try and do in the book, what I'm trying to do is to get people to really examine what it is that helps them best connect to their audience and to the people they're seeing in their everyday lives. Hey, you know, there's a reason that you're connecting with your listenership. Teachers, you know, why are they doing such a great job with their students? You know, why am I able to connect with certain neighbors and not able to connect with others? And it's because I've discovered that there are certain things that work for me. So,
yeah.
I don't know if that answers your question or not. But
you know, it does answer my question. So when you say there's certain things that work for you, is part of it putting yourself in the shoes of the other person?
Well, that's, yeah, absolutely. But what works best is when you take yourself away from trying to impress people and just concentrate on being who you are. You know, listen, you've got lots of fans in your life. You've got your friends, your family. You know, there are people that love you, and there's a reason that people love you, and that's because you're relating to them in a way that means something to them. So what you have to do is take yourself out of you and concentrate on them. And once you find yourself concentrating on them, and before you know it, you're in what I call the sweet spot or the speaking zone, and, you know, before you know it, it's kind of like highway hypnosis. You're 10 miles down the road, and you've had a wonderful conversation, and all eyes are on you.
Yeah, boy, that's true. I like that. What'd you say, call that highway hypnosis?
Well, I mean, to me, that's kind of how I metaphorically put it. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. You're up there talking, and before you know it, you know, 15 minutes is gone, and you've had, you know, smiles on the faces and eyes, you know, all looking at you. It's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that we beat ourselves up too much, and sometimes when people strategize, they overthink it? Is there a moment that you think, when you're speaking, you should just roll with it and kind of let it go? You know what you want to say? Just let it go. Do you think that that's a good strategy?
I do think it's a good strategy, but there are different strategies for different people, too. And we're all unique. We're all different. And what you have to do is really discover what it is that connects you best to, like I said, everyday people and your audiences. So really what you have to do, and that's kind of what I tried to do when I wrote the book, is ask the questions that I thought were important. It's not just how you're gesturing. It's not you know, how you're walking or how you look necessarily. It's the behaviors and the values that, that you're carrying with your language. So, you know, what's important is really to come from a good place, the inside, your heart, your mind. Be truthful. Be honest who you are and what you think. And then before you know it, everything comes out a lot easier, and it's really more meaningful.
So when you look at strategies and you boil it down and you talk about it, you've given us some gems here, and really being meaningful is one of them. Not necessarily taking exactly what someone else tells you to do, but doing what you know works for you. What would be, and your book is loaded with them, what would be one of your biggest takeaways? If somebody read your book, what do you think is one of the takeaways you want them to have?
Boy, there's a lot of takeaways, to be honest with you. I don't know if there's one that's really a standout. Everything kind of has to work together, and they're going to work together for different people in different ways. But kind of the thing that I like the best, and I led off with it in Chapter 1, it's about intentions, and it's about the language that's coming to you. How are you being communicated to? Are you always being told, you know, you're wonderful, you're great? You know, that were, you know, I couldn't have said any better. Is that really the best advice that you could be getting? Or would you rather have somebody be totally honest with you and tell you straight up, you know, what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong? Me personally, I'm a pretty direct person, so I would like somebody to be honest with me. Mm-hmm. So in order for me to be a better person and to, you know, be a better speaker or a better just communicator in my life, I'd like to know what I can do to be better.
Yeah, that's good.
That's what I hope it's.
Yeah, that's good. Some people would be the opposite way, and some people would absolutely rather just be straight, tell me so I can become a better speaker. What was it that made you decide, I'm going to put this together? I've got this book in my head. I've watched other speakers. You're an incredible videographer. You've certainly filmed many speakers. What was it that made you decide, I'm going to put this together?
I really think it was just being a frustration on some of the people's faces that I work with, speakers. You know, some of them are just lost. Some of them aren't really sure where to start, where to go. You know, Kurt, you know, helped me put this together in a way that really, you know, makes me shine and pop. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, I can only do so much. I've got to start looking inside you, you know, and fixing what's going on with you. So, you know, there's a fine line between being, you know, personable and then being truthfully dead honest. So really the book is a way for me to say what's in my mind, but not have to look someone, you know, not have to hurt the feeling. So, yeah. You know, in a more, and even though I say in the book's very direct, and you know that I use very intentional language, but, you know, if you and I are talking face to face, let's face it, most people are this way, we don't want to hurt people's feelings. So I'd rather just put it out there, you know, here's what it is, and if you decide that you really want to be better, then take a look.
Very well said. Our last one, most important question. I know that you're big into baseball card collecting, and as you know, sports is partially my thing, no question about it. Do you have a favorite baseball card?
Oh, boy, I do. It's Reggie Jackson's rookie card, and I still have it when I was a kid collecting. And I used to, probably 7 years old, 8 years old, and I'd be there trading baseball cards with my buddies, and I could kick myself now because, you know, we're kids and we're not really paying attention to the corners and, you know, the shine on the top of the card. And I cringe when I look back and think how many great stars I could have traded away to my buddy down the block, you know. And then I look back and I go, oh, you know, Reggie Jackson's rookie card. That means a lot to me.
Very cool. I like that. I like that. You know what? My favorite card, I have Mike Schmidt's rookie card. He was a third baseman for the Philadelphia Phillies, and he was the guy that I liked. Yeah, and
he's a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer, too.
Yeah, Hall of Famer, and same thing. It's not in the greatest condition, but it doesn't matter. It's my favorite card. So.
Yeah, you're a Philadelphia girl, too, right?
Yes.
In your heart. There you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Growing up there and watching so many of those Phillies games, no question. All right, pick up the book. It's great. Inside Out Speaker, Kurt Boxdorfer. Easy name to say. Come on, Kurt. Thanks so much.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Thanks. You have a good one. Bye-bye.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Minimum wage here really for a long time, but specifically because of the President's State of the Union address, probably for the last couple of weeks, last month actually. In our wings is Horace Cooper, Project 21 co-chair and a former official at the U.S. Department of Labor. That makes this even more interesting as we talk to Horace about minimum wage and the suggestion that the Congressional Budget Office is saying that about 500,000 jobs would be lost, maybe even up to a million. So is the idea of moving federal minimum wage from $7.25 to $10.10 really a job killer? Horace, thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having me on. And absolutely, this is a real question for the country to have to grapple with. A lot of polls show that the concept of a minimum wage increase is popular. But the scientific consensus is that there are consequences that come from it. And this latest CBO report demonstrates that many of the very people who are working the hardest, who are the least skilled, and who are needing these jobs the most are likely to see themselves impacted in a way that's very, very adverse and that's not being explained to them.
Yeah, explain that to us. What does that mean? So somebody says, oh, Horace, come on. There's going to be more jobs that are going to be created. What do you mean that the hardworking people, the ones who maybe don't have degrees, who desperately need the job to feed their family, to get through the bills, how come you think they'll be penalized?
Okay, well, first statistics that we need to understand is the prototypical minimum wage employee is not the breadwinner of a household. The individuals are typically very young. They're typically very unskilled. But they're also, increasingly, retirees who are in supplementing their income. And they may be individuals in a family that already has some income coming in that are just wanting to provide an increase. In the case of the young people and in the case of the seniors, those people, if 500,000 of them were to lose their jobs, that's saying to them that they're forced on a far more reduced lifestyle, particularly, say, the seniors. On the other hand, the young people are going to forfeit their first, second, or third opportunities to develop the experience, to develop the skills, so that they can get sort of the good-paying, median income type jobs. Essentially, what his plan does by saying we're going to try to lift 1.5 million people who are living in poverty up above the poverty level at the cost of 500,000 or as much as a million is just go into your typical neighborhood and say to yourself, I'm going to go to every four houses on this block, and I'm going to take a bulldozer, and I'm going to knock it down, kick everybody out, and tell them fend for themselves. But at the same time, I'm going to take that land, hand it over to the neighbors so that their value would increase. Would that be a fair trade that most Americans would consider? I think not.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Is it just that when, yeah, I'm, you know, maybe I'm being hypercritical of the president. I don't know. But when you do the State of the Union, there seems to be, or at least there has been for this president, it's a lot of these, a lot of this kind of flowery promises that, look, if we just do this, this is how we can solve the dilemma of jobs in America. We move it up to 1010. We're going to do it for the federal workers. Come on, Congress, if you would just, you know, roll up your sleeves and get to business, this is what will happen. Is it because it's not really flushed out and it just sounds really good and we sound really nasty if we don't think that you should increase minimum wage, that's part of this?
If we were dealing with this in 2009, maybe I might be more open-minded about it. Now I realize this is pure political gamesmanship. And the problem is, it costs people. Just like the Affordable Care Act is likely to lead to more denial of treatment and care, the single largest group of people who are beneficiaries under this plan are going to go into Medicaid. They're not getting insurance. They're going to get Medicaid. The Heritage Foundation has just done a study that showed, it's a 2012 study, but showed that the there are more people in the emergency room at our hospitals seeking free care who were Medicaid-treated patients than people who are completely uninsured. We're talking about people getting tetanus and ringworm and all kinds of failures to diagnose, breast cancers that just don't go observed because Medicaid pays 50 cents on the dollar for what insurance pays. A lot of people were promised this is going to be great for you. Many of them are young people. Many of them are minorities that supported this president, supported these policies. They're going to be the hardest hit by these kinds of policies. This minimum wage is no different. The very groups, minorities are disproportionately at this unemployment, at this minimum wage job level, and young people, two groups that were very, very supportive of the president. Instead of tempting himself with political gamesmanship, he should be leading and explaining, this will harm you. It might give me an advantage against the Republicans, but this will harm you. As president, I'm interested in the broader interest of the nation. Gaining an advantage of a few pennies or even a few dollars to push people technically over the poverty line while destroying 500,000 or as much as a million lives is absolutely a terrible, terrible trade-off. And it is, I note with irony, that it is mostly going to happen to the very people who support this administration the most.
Yeah, somehow that never seems to come out. Do you think Congress is going to back this up? Do you think it's really going to kick in?
Absolutely. I'm not convinced at all that the purpose of this has anything to do with getting Congress to do it and has everything to do with getting the public heading into midterm elections to be skeptical that the party that holds the party out of power should be rewarded for holding the president accountable. We absolutely need the opportunity to explain just how harmful these kinds of policies are. We see issue after issue after issue where the work ethic, the only real key way for people to succeed and prosper in America, is undermined. Welfare programs take away the work requirement. Higher taxes for people who are creators and innovators and who take risks. A wholesale redistribute income scheme that really says if you have resources, be very, very careful about it. And so billions, if not trillions, sit on the sidelines, and it exacerbates the very income inequality problem that the president says he's trying to fix. Again, the very people that support him the most are often the people that are going to suffer the most.
Yeah, no kidding. I mentioned at the top of this, Horace, that you were with the U.S. Department of Labor, and obviously you're a smart man. We've talked to you before about with all your acumen with the Constitution and whatnot. If you had a chance to do something and come up with a different sort of a plan to help solve this problem of joblessness or underemployed, underreported true statistics, I think, what would you do if you had a crack at it?
I would say if you're a new hire or if you've been unemployed for more than, say, 6 months, if you get a job, you're going to be exempt from having to pay your share of the Social Security, unemployment, Medicaid, and your employer does for at least 6 months. That'll make you a very, very attractive hire. That's a 15 to 17% cost savings. Two, I would say that any employer who would like to bring on board new employees would be able to get up to a $2,500 tax credit against their taxes for the first 2 years that they keep people on board. Three, we ought to be saying to people who are living in inner city zip codes where we know high concentrations of unemployment are occurring, that we're going to offer the children in those communities the opportunity to go to better schools, requiring them to get at least a B-plus average so that they will graduate and be eligible for scholarships and compete and go out into the real workforce. If we did three things like that, you would have a long way toward actually reorienting the way government does, encouraging work, encouraging sacrifice, encouraging good behavior, rather than doing what we do right now, which is punishing all of those.
Yeah, great suggestions. Horace, why don't you run? Have you ever thought of running?
I used to work in the sausage factory. I stay away from sausage now.
I love that. All right, always fun to talk to you. Horace Cooper, thanks so much, Project 21. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.